You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas with a Hot Texas Swing Band.
Our theme music.
That's right.
It's our theme
with our
music.
Friend Alex Dormont.
And we're so happy that you're with us for tonight's show, number 150. And if you are watching us live streaming on Facebook, we are so happy that you're here. I want to just go ahead and call out, though, please feel free to leave your comments. We enjoy reading them and looking at them and responding after the show, but we actually are not able to see what you post. So please don't be surprised if you post something wonderful and you wonder why we didn't comment, right?
Right.
But we love to go back and see what you were thinking. So please post away. We are delighted you're with us. And who's our guest tonight?
Our guest tonight, E. Joe Brown.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about A Cowboy's Dilemma, which is part of the Kelly Can saga.
Yes.
Welcome, Joe.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's always great. You were kind to have me with my previous books, and I look forward to tonight. Let's have some fun.
We are already having fun. So tonight we're focusing on A Cowboy's Dilemma. But just as Joe mentioned, there was the last time he was with us was book two in the series, A Cowboy's Fortune. And, of course, kicking it all off was book one.
Very beginning.
A Cowboy's Destiny. And on the cover of this book, if you look really closely, Joe, what's hanging from that sort of archway gateway? What does it say?
It says 101 Ranch.
And the all right.
The 101 was a very famous ranch in northern Oklahoma 100 years ago.
And it shows up. Again, in A Cowboy's Dilemma. So, Joe, where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm at my home office in Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Practically neighbors.
What? That's right.
We're practically neighbors.
About 20 minutes away, actually.
Yeah, Jim and I take advantage of that from time to time.
Yes, and you were on the road the last several days, I think, doing a book tour. Tell us just a little bit about what's been going on.
Well, yes, rolled back in last night. Well, late yesterday afternoon, I was in Oklahoma back on Saturday. I launched book three, Dilemma, in Ponca City, Oklahoma. The 101 Ranch was just a few miles southwest of Ponca City when it was there. It is no longer there. It was a casualty of the Great Depression. But during its time, it was very famous. And so I developed a friendship with the historian of the 101 Ranch Old Timers Association, and his daughter runs a bookstore in Ponca City, so it just seemed like the right place for me to do that. So I was there Saturday. On Monday, I was in Cushing, Oklahoma at the public library, and Tuesday evening, I was at Full Circle Books in Oklahoma City, and along the way, I was interviewed by the Cushing Citizen newspaper and also on the KUSH, which is the radio station for my hometown, Cushing, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. You were busy.
You was.
You know, do you want to go ahead and do the introductory
the bio?
Yes.
You know, I was saying, Joe, on that you interviewed by the Citizen paper, you used to write for them, right?
I did.
Way back?
Back when it was a daily paper, I was the sports editor for the Cushing Daily Citizen for a year. I took a year out of Oklahoma State when I was going to college back then and decided I needed a break, so I did, and had the good fortune to get a job at the Cushing Daily Citizen.
That's great. All right, the bio. E. Joe Brown. Joe Joe's Friends is a member of a number of national and community organizations. To name a few, he is a member of the Western Writers of America and a board member of their Homestead Foundation and a member of the staff of the Roundup magazine. He is an active member of Southwest Writers, Military Writers of America, and the New Mexico Westerners. He has served as the past New Mexico State Music Commissioner appointed by the governor. Yes, sir. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome.
Well, you know, it keeps me off the streets.
I bet it does.
Joe, is there anything you'd like to add that maybe we couldn't find in your bio or researching you online? Some fun little tidbit?
Well, when I was at Oklahoma State, I was on scholarship studying petroleum engineering. And although I did not become a petroleum engineer, I did end up being an engineer in the Air Force and tested airplanes at Edwards Air Force Base. But you can find that on my bio on my website. But Jim did not mention, you know, that I retired from the Air Force twice as a military member and then as a civil servant out at Edwards Air Force Base.
And you have a thing for speed.
I do. I something else that isn't in there is that I used to race automobiles. I did a little drag racing, but I especially loved to race my MGs on road courses back in the day. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
Well, now you just haven't lived unless you've spun out doing 110 miles an hour like I did.
Well, we spun out one time with about 35 miles an hour, and that was enough for us.
Yeah.
We were in that Ford Corvette we owned, and we hit a wet spot as we left the traffic light. And it's kind of like we're doing a 360.
Everyone got out of the way, though. Everyone just got out of the way.
Well, I'm glad.
you have a personal connection, don't you, Joe, to the stories that you tell, especially as you launched this series? Who inspired you in your family history that got this all started?
Well, I absolutely adored my maternal grandfather. His name was Clarence Ashley Kelly. It was my mom's dad, and I spent a lot of time with him, a lot of each summer down with him. And as a teenager, he was a cowboy out at the 101 Ranch. And so I was able to hear great stories and stuff about the ranch. And then couple that with the fact that he and I would sometimes sit out under a shade tree out in the yard with a couple of Oklahoma history books that he had accumulated. And he was born in 1898. And one of the books was published in 1935. I forget I think the other one was later. But we would look at that book and he'd say, yeah, and Joey. And then he would impart something about what was in the book because he had lived it, you know.
Yeah.
So I became such a fan of history. And then, of course, during my military time and civil service too. We'd sit around a break room out at the base and maybe lunch or afternoon break or something, and I'd spin a yarn, and some of them would harken back to my days with my maternal granddaddy, you know. But he inspired my primary character, my protagonist. Now, Charlie Kelly is not Clarence Kelly, but just the fact that he was out there, and my dad, I mean, my granddad was a pretty well known top hand out there. That was the inspiration that got the story started. I needed to write about a teenager that wanted to be at the 101 Ranch.
How long was your grandfather a cowboy? All his life, or
he? Yes, I wouldn't say all his life, because he did work the oil fields later on, after he was married. And he retired from Skelly Oil, but he never quit being a farmer. His oldest son was a cowboy also, that was my mom's age group, I guess, generation, and then in mine, I have a cousin that is a nationally known horse trainer of cutting horses and reining horses. So I've been in and around it and enjoyed that from afar. I used to ride and stuff too, but I wouldn't claim to ever have been a bona fide cowboy. I could have helped, but I went off to the Air Force, and I guess you'd say never looked back. But I never ever left my love, passionate love for the cowboy way of looking at life and what my cousin now still doing.
Yeah.
You know, you have a character in the book, I guess, Dan, if I got the name right.
Well, that's
was he modeled after your cousin? Because he's very good at horses, as I remember.
I thought about it. Yes, I did. Good pickup, Jim. Yeah. to a great extent, yes. Now, Dan, as a character, he's a tall, lanky guy, and therefore he would be a little taller than my cousin, although my cousin's not a short fella, but I have always kind of pictured Dan as maybe 6 foot, 6 foot two. Now, see, Charlie is like 6'4", 6'5". He's a big guy. Just like my granddaddy. My granddaddy was a mountain of a man. He was not fat, just a big boy.
Yes.
Dan was, I picture him shy. You probably picked up in the book that he probably shuffled his feet a few times around Tess.
I was gonna say a little shy till, you know, Tess enters his life a little bit
but he became quite a bird dog then, didn't he? go ahead.
No, you, please, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, but as I placed Dan as a guy who was great with horses, I did think of my cousin, Roger Kelly.
We're talking with our featured guest tonight, good friend and returning author, E. Joe Brown, Joe, to all of us who know and love him. And we're talking about the latest book in his series, this one, A Cowboy's Dilemma. We're going to step away for just a moment and talk a little bit about one of our sponsors who we have in common with Joe Brown, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? Maybe you'd like to increase your social media presence or your website, or like we just did, launch for the first time, a website or a landing page for yourself. Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you with exciting news. And when we come back, we'll be taking our first in-depth look at a cowboy's dilemma. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guest, E. Joe Brown, and we call him Joe. And we're talking about his book, this particular book, A Cowboy's Dilemma, part of the Kelly Can Saga.
Yeah.
I got an irrelevant question I want to ask Joe. It's nothing really serious here, but what is sweet tea?
Really? Oh, wow. Well, that is just basically tea with sugar. That's just us Southern folks. We just call it sweet tea.
Well, Bobby and I got in a big discussion this afternoon about what's sweet tea.
I was surprised that he really didn't know the difference. I mean, you were curious.
Well, you said it was a special Southern recipe, cooked a certain way, sugar added at a certain time.
Well, I will tell you, yes, it can be brewed any number of ways. On a stove, of course, you can brew it out in the sun, you know. But once you have your tea brewed and it's as mature as you want it, then a Southerner will stick about a gallon of sugar in it, and now you've made sweet tea.
Well, we were, we always have so much fun, not only reading, but then going back through and looking at things and looking for quotes and remembering. And we recognized pretty quickly that Charlie and Susan never miss a meal. They never miss a meal, do they?
No.
No, they. And there's three beverages that they particularly like, sweet tea being one of them. And not to put you on the spot, Joe, but what are the other two?
Well, coffee and Cabernet.
You got it.
You got it. Winner.
Yes, indeedy. I think I just fell into putting meals or having meetings around meals because I guess that's because that was my life. And, and they always say, you're always told, write what you know. Well, I probably need to back away from that because their life is way too much like mine was. You can't waste a minute when you're involved in business and trying to get something done and you're trying to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound sack as I use that term a lot. Well, just another day where I was trying to put, 10 pounds of taters in a 5-pound sack, and Charlie and Susan are like that. They typically have a breakfast meeting with people all the time or a dinner meal or sometimes lunch. So yeah, they're eating a lot and they end every day, of course, with their Cabernet.
Yes, they do. But, it was interesting because fairly early on in the book, Susan makes a comment to Charlie about we seem to have a lot of, business meetings around meals. And she's really looking at that time together in a very sweet way. She really likes to, share that time with him. And he, do you remember what he tells her? Because it's really important.
Well, off the top of my head, no, not this particular scene. So now you've stumped me. I'm curious. What did he say?
Well, I didn't mean to stump you, Joe. But, and for readers that hadn't maybe read book one and two, he reminds her that on their wedding day, her father, Walter Kramer,
kind of gave him
a little advice.
Which
is exactly what you were just saying before about business and you can't waste any time. And he said, you know, Walter kind of said, you know, you only have so much time. And in order to eat and do business, people have to eat. So, you know, do it at the same time. Or those are not your words. I'm totally paraphrasing.
No, but I started, well, honestly, I did think of that. I started to say that, but I got, no, maybe that, maybe she's another scene. But yes. Walter Kramer gave Charlie some good advice about time management, and he gave him some good advice about the oil business. In book two, they develop an oil business. In book three, it's expanding a lot, along with the rest of their business empire, if you will. Charlie was very, very grateful for how well Walter accepted him into their life. And it was devastated as she was that they lost him, you know, in book two.
So it's fun. We really weren't meaning to stump you, but we do like to have fun on this show, don't we, Jim?
Well, you did stump me. You did. That's cool.
Joe, how do these three books kind of connect to each other?
Well, they really are chronological in order, following Charlie's life from the time that he was just a teenager in Southwest Oklahoma, in Stevens County, on a ranch outside of Loco, Oklahoma. Why did I do that? Loco, Oklahoma, and Stevens County is where my granddaddy was born. So I said, okay, let's start it there. And because of his daddy, they get basically run off the ranch and they end up in New Mexico. Well, why do they end up in Fort Sumner, New Mexico? Well, it's because my great granddaddy Kelly, Clarence's daddy, was a vagabond, a nomad, and he took them out there and they stayed for a while. And why'd they come back to Oklahoma? Well, he shot a guy out there and they kind of needed to get out of town. So
that's a good reason.
Pick that stuff up, you know. So I just went ahead and used it. And and in that time frame, Charlie is a dreamer and Charlie has ambitions, and he wants to be a cowboy, but he wants to be a cowboy on a huge ranch, not just any ranch. And his dream was to be a top hand at the 101. That really is the basis for destiny, how he got there, and he was successful. Along the way, he does meet Susan. So by the end of book one, we're talking Western romance, not just a cowboy story. Which I actually learned within the past 90 days, guys, that's the fastest subgenre in romance right now. The fastest growing. I'm just, this is.
That's cool. Interesting. You're right there, Joe.
Yeah. And then in Fortune, it literally just starts up right after they're married. And early on, they're on their honeymoon at Jekyll Island. Susan's dad was the richest man west of the Mississippi, and would help. I placed him as part of the founding fathers of Jekyll Island, which was made in the late 1800s by some of the most wealthy men in the world, out of primarily New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. You know, back where the money was being made in the Gilded Age. And he had a cottage on Jekyll Island, and they went there for their honeymoon. So that's the early part of that book. and then it follows them expanding their businesses, and there's quite a focus on Kelly Oil in book two,
right.
And the climactic scene happens in Cushing, in my hometown. Susan is in some peril, and Charlie has to deal with it.
It's a nail biter.
Well, it is. And then book three literally starts just a day or two after book one ends, book two pretty much covered their first year of marriage, pretty much. Book three starts right after that. Their anniversary is in the early part of book three, but at any rate, as they expand and so forth, they come into situations where they're basically trying to acquire similar property to the mob, the guys out of Chicago, and so there's some pretty confrontational situations that happen, vandalisms, people being beat up, and then eventually there's even casualties that are fatal. So Charlie ends up dealing with that by basically face to face with the head of the mob. And I'll just leave it at that.
You know, a while back when we were having breakfast one time, we got to talking about your book, and we got to talking, you know, related things that might be going to occur in the book later on. And, you know, the book The Godfather came up, and we started talking, and we talked about you and I talked about a particular scene, and you said, you know, Jim, I'm working on that. We're going to put something in one of my books. It's going to be a takeoff from that, but that's all I'm going
to
tell you.
Yeah, you have to read the book.
But in the end, in the third book, yeah, I can see where you adapted our conversation. You know, yeah.
Joe, were there any sort of tips or lessons that you learned as a writer as you moved through these three books that you applied to this most recent book, or, you know, how I'm sure you understand where I'm going with that question.
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I wanted to do something, and I did it in book one, and the feedback that I got from my readers indicated that I made a good choice. What I do in it'll be this way throughout the Kelly Can saga. Real people, real places. Incorporate real people, real places. It requires quite a bit of research, because you can't put people where they weren't. For instance, in the storyline actually probably books two and three, J. Paul Getty of Getty Oil, Harry Sinclair of Sinclair Oil, and William Skelly of Skelly Oil are in the book. Well, I had to make sure that I put that they were available where Charlie was. Yeah. Charlie and Susan. It wasn't hard with the Miller brothers. I used the real owners of the 101 as characters, but that wasn't hard. We were at the 101 Ranch. But what about J. Paul Getty and Sinclair and Skelly? Well, as it turns out, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which Charlie and Susan were going to be there, there was a fabulous hotel. It's no longer there now, but it was called the Hotel Tulsa. And those three characters had rooms there. And if you read about stuff that went on at the hotel, million, multi-million dollar oil deals were struck in the lobby and the restaurant area at the Hotel Tulsa. Yeah. So it was just great. So I incorporated all of that, but in something else. Now, I hadn't read or I hadn't even heard of the book or movie Killers of the Flower Moon. But something else that was going on at this time was the acquiring of rights to drill oil on the Osage Nation's land. Mm-hmm. And rights were sometimes just the rights. Sometimes the land itself was all being auctioned in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, up on Agency Hill under what became known as the Million Dollar Elm. Well, that's all historical fact. I've learned about it, started to incorporate that, and then son of a gun. David Grun writes this fabulous book that's actually more nonfiction than fiction. I mean, you know, but it's a great read. Yeah. And a fabulous movie was made out of it. But I was writing about it before I even knew about it. And but that's part of the storyline, though.
Yes. You know. Well, and it is. And for readers, it's really fascinating because you don't just name drop them. They don't just walk into the lobby and somebody goes, oh, there's so-and-so over there. They're actual characters. And yes. We see them interacting with Charlie and Susan. You had that really fun quote you found of J. Paul Getty's.
One of our guys. Yeah.
You got that J. Paul Getty quote?
Always get that quote out. J. Paul said, the formula for success is rise early, work hard, and strike oil.
and don't miss a meal. Yeah, and get to know Hank, your landman character, right?
Hank Thomas. Yeah.
Get to know Hank Thomas.
That's right.
You know, Joe, we're talking about incorporating in the story all these facts and these fellows and the gals and time going mm-hmm. by. And then you got to coordinate. You got three books now so far. We've coordinated all these characters in the storyline. You know, this is kind of difficult to do and takes a lot of time, right?
Yeah. I have you guys know him and consider him a close friend too. Jim Jones, you know, was a very successful songwriter and singer and entertainer and stuff. And then he had a song that was pretty famous. I mean, people enjoyed it. And he got influenced to write a book about it. Just take that song and expand it into a novel. And Jim has said many times in front of me, yeah, I thought, oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. That's no big deal. Yeah, that's exactly it. And
he'll be with us next week.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's great. Well, Jim is known as someone who said, yeah, I can write a book, no big deal. And then he goes, oh, my God, that's a lot of work. And it is. And then when you're, you know, like Jim did with his Moon series, and me and the Kelly Can group of books too, you use the same characters and you've got to be careful. And then you add a character here, you add one there. Well, it's got to be in the right context.
Yeah.
It needs to make sense.
Right. Yeah. Joe, we're going to step away one more time very quickly to tell all of our listeners and those joining us where you can order the books for many of our author guests, including all three of Joe Brown's books and this tonight's Cowboy's Dilemma title. You can find the books on our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the characters from A Cowboy's Dilemma. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer, Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer, a special friend and author, Joe Brown, E. Joe Brown. We're talking about the Gillikin saga, and in particular the book, The Cowboy's Dilemma.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a lot more books in this series, right?
I think
there probably will be.
Oh.
I was just going to ask, you suppose Taylor... Yeah, Sheridan, or you suppose maybe the Hallmark Channel?
The Hallmark Channel for romance.
It's about time for them to give Joe a call, right?
Yeah, romance and Taylor Sheridan. I don't know what he would do. He'd kill a lot of them off, I think, wouldn't he?
Well, Taylor's a tough guy. Yeah.
Well, Taylor would love book three, especially. I think, especially that last scene. I could just see him writing it. I haven't had a conversation with either one of them, but call me.
Yeah, you're available.
I know. We always start off the character section that we know you got control of these guys and the gals, Joe. But did they ever surprise you?
You know what? The biggest surprise for the whole series up to this point has been Susan. And why do I say that? When I started book one, page one, chapter one, and even beyond for a while, Susan didn't exist in my mind. I did not see her coming. But stories will write themselves if you'll just open your mind up to it. And I'm so grateful that I did, because She had such a balance to Charlie. Charlie's a high school graduate, which actually back in the day, that was a big deal. Back 100 years ago, probably more important than even a college education, a bachelor's anyway, would be now. And of course, Susan went to Vassar. She's a college educated economist, really. She didn't exist in my mind, and then it happened, and then I had to keep it going. I am truthfully, Linda will tell you this, my wonderful bride, I'm the romantic of the two of us, actually. I always have been. And, you'll find me in front of the television from time to time watching a Hallmark movie.
Absolutely.
Not likely for Linda, but certainly for me. But to answer the question specifically, I didn't see Susan coming. I really did.
Yeah. Well, she's a really, really interesting a character, and she speaks a lot of wisdom. Her dad really taught her well, and she had the opportunity to work. I mean, she was working in their business, multi-million dollar business. So she comes with really well educated and knowledgeable wisdom. She has a lot of wisdom. They're a very fun couple. Were there any characters that you found a little more challenging to write than others?
Well, really, the biggest challenge for me was to try to strike the right tone and right balance for real people. Paul Getty is in his 20s was quite a rascal, a ladies' man. So I painted him that way. He couldn't take his eyes off of Susan, that kind of thing, because I paint Susan as a very lovely, voluptuous young lady, But Paul recognized she was a lady, and that she was, and so forth.
We were doing research on this, J. Paul, He was married and divorced 5 times, so that fits in with just what you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would roam.
We're going to just call out a name, and then you can just tell us a little something, or you can say no, pass, because you don't want to do a spoiler alert,
No, it's
and
okay.
you're just giving us a little bit so our listeners can get a sense of the other characters in the book. And we're going to start with Bailey Muldoon. Tell us a little bit about Bailey.
Bailey was a guy in his 30s. He was a special operations guy in World War One. Was an officer in the army, and he had a crew of around eight to a dozen guys that worked for him or that he commanded from the standpoint of the military, and they did things that the regular army didn't do. They would might be the guy that would go into a stronghold and take out somebody, or they might let's just say that they had all kinds of skills. Today's Delta Force or Green Beret would be a similar organization, and Bailey was there. And then when they met him, he was a regional manager, if you will, for Pinkerton.
That's right. That's right. We do have a little quote about Bailey, and it's interesting. I think Susan kind of relates to him pretty quickly, which I was kind of surprised. She understands his mindset, and she's having a conversation with him, and she says, "Bailey, go hire men who can't be intimidated, who are highly trained, and can be as ruthless as required."
You go, Susan.
Yeah, Susan's, I'm telling you, don't mess with Susan.
Don't mess with Susan. Okay, now,
As a matter of fact, I think one of the reasons, I'll give you something that I think is interesting. At each of my book signings on this tour, I primarily had ladies in the audience, and they echoed things I've been hearing now for more than a year. We love Susan. She's a strong woman, and they love Charlie the way Susan would. He's just a charming guy that takes care of her and all that, but they love Susan. And I would suspect that what you just quoted would be one of the reasons.
Now, we didn't talk about them. I'm going to say they're a character, and that is a real outfit, the Chicago Mob, also known as the Chicago Outfit, among other names. You want to just take a moment, and I am looking at time, and we're going to have to move off of this pretty quick, but they play a major role in the book, and you want to just tell us about them. They're
Yes,
real.
they are a real organization. The guy during my time frame that I'm writing in book three, Johnny Torrio, was the Don, and they were primarily in prostitution, prohibition, and basically protection. And by that, I'm talking about pay us or we're going to hurt you, kind of thing. Pay us or we're going to put you out of business, kind of thing. And they were in this time frame expanding into the Oklahoma, Kansas City primarily. They were moving into those locations, so it just fit that Charlie and Susan and their big businesses might come into contact with them, and they did.
We have time to ask about one more. Do you want to talk about ask about the land man?
The landman.
The land man.
Yes, Hank Thomas is what is known in the oil business as a landman. Now, a landman can do pretty much anything. He can find the oil. He can lead the crews and drill and end to end. He pretty much knows the oil business. And if you really want to see a great landman on television, just look up the new show by Taylor Sheridan called
Landman.
Landman. Again, yep. Hank existed Billy way Bob. From Billy Bob Thornton's character. Okay, yep.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but a landman has to be a very intelligent guy and also a pretty fearless guy, and especially back. Well, I shouldn't even say especially. Even today, it's that way. But back then, there was a lot of wildcatters and a lot of people, Charlie and Hank were being shot at by people and so forth, trying to run off some of their leases. And that was just the way it was in the Cushing drumright oil fields of this time period. And that's where I grew up. So I've heard the stories.
We're going to take another break. It's our last one. I am looking at time. So we have one more spot for Out West Shop. And when we come back, Joe's going to tell us what's coming next. Stay tuned.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Ronnie Over the Writer. We're talking to E.J. Brown and his Kelly Con saga. Joe, what's going on? What's happening next?
Thanks.
Well, I'm going to be going to Cody, Wyoming. I'll be doing a presentation on September 6th. And so that's my next stop. For the balance of the year, I've got some stuff I'm going to be doing for Southwest Writers. We haven't settled on dates yet. I'm going to be part of a book festival here in Albuquerque. I think it's October 23rd. In November, I'm going to be at the International Western Music Association's annual conference convention kind of thing. I'm going to take it easy after that and then just enjoy the holidays. But I've already booked myself about four or five places for 2026. So
good.
So good.
Where can people find you? Where do they go?
Well, ejoebrown.com is my website. And from my website, you can find me on Facebook and you can find me on Instagram. My books are sold anywhere books are sold. I would love it if you would get them through Jim and Bobby, because that's as good a place as any to find them. But my books, you can find them pretty much anywhere that you typically find books.
Oh, Joe, this has been so much fun. Jim, you have a quote to finish up.
A quote here.
Quick quote.
Charlie and Susan are talking, and Charlie says, "Sweetheart, pinch me. This must be a dream. Many nights I laid in my bunk over the north bunkhouse and dreamed maybe one day I could own this ranch. Now I'm a living, true cowboy's dream." He's talking about owning the 101.
Oh, yeah. Joe, so much fun. We hope when the next book is out, you'll come back and see us again.
Oh, absolutely.
Next week, as Joe mentioned earlier, we do have a mutual dear, dear friend, but also an award-winning writer. And we're delighted to have Jim Jones back with us next week. And we'll be talking about the final book in his Moon series. And it is called Hunter's Moon. And you'll want to join us because he's just a fabulous storyteller. And we're going to have, like we had tonight, a wonderful time. We also want to give a shout out and a thank you to Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And go to rendezvouswithawriter.com. to find out everything you need to know about where to watch, where to listen, how to reach out to us. Maybe you'd like to make an appearance in 2026 or you'd like to sponsor an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to Alex Dormont and the Hawk Texas Swing Band and Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio. Couldn't do it without you, Sam. And do you have any?
I got a couple thoughts. First, Joe, We're glad you were on the show. We're glad you came back. We've had a good time. And we want to thank you again.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
It's always a great day out west.
Keep writing, and we'll keep reading. See you down the trail.